Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. We have a very special guest here. It's part of our Fan for the Win. It's the Fans Day of Giving to the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. We'd love for you to get in on it as well. You go to 937thefan.com, click on Fan for the Win, and donate. It's such important work. And with us here is Rhonda Fleming, who is the Chief of Prevention, Intervention, and Outreach at the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. Rhonda, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm glad to be here.
Of course, and for taking time out of your day to show up in person was extra special. Now, you've been doing this. You've been with the agency for over 30 years, and I'm wondering if you can speak to the progress that has been made on some of the key issues for what you people do and sort of the work ahead for you.
Yes, certainly. Thank you so much. When I started at Women's Center and Shelter in 1990, I was one of 30-some employees. I don't remember if I was 33 or 34. Our growth has been fantastic over that time. And every time I say something about being fantastic and you're doing intimate partner violence work, it has both sides of it. I feel fantastic that we've had the growth. I feel fantastic that we've been around for 50 years. And then I feel sad that there is still that great need for us to be around. However, what I have seen over the years in the growth is the collaboration with other organizations, working with multiple providers who do social service and human service work, as well as with police officers, as well as with judicial systems, as well as with anyone who could come in contact with, and that's just about anyone, a victim of intimate partner violence. So having that collaborative work has really made a difference. We also have a couple of national programs that we work with right now, including something called LAP. It's the initials for Lethality Assessment Program, and it was out of Minnesota. So that means that when police officers go to the home to intervene and they can see that there is an obvious need for the victim to be able to get in touch with Women's Center and Shelter, they can have that happen right there on the spot. So those are things that I've seen that have really grown. And where to go from there is to continue something like what we're doing here today. Again, thanks for having me. Being able to just increase the awareness everywhere. We have school programs. That's what I was hired to do, to bring in school programs for elementary school programs. So being able to increase awareness all throughout the community is something else that is really important to where we need to continue to go in the future. So, yeah.
And you would have thought by now that this would be decreasing and not increasing. And it's a sad state of affairs that it does. And so, you know, I'm sure there are women out there who are scared, who are in situations like this and don't know what to do. What advice do you have for them, knowing that there's an organization like yours available to make things better?
Thank you so much. I think one of the first things to do is to find someone who you trust that you can share that information with. But that's critical, someone you trust who will not go back and tell the person who's using power and control, the person who's using abuse, or even a family member. You have to be really particular and safe. And I always encourage, we have a 24-hour hotline. Please call our hotline at any time. You know, for some victim survivors of intimate partner violence, they have to call at 2 a.m., I'm sorry, because that's when the abuser is either really asleep or out of the home because he or she may work during the overnight hours. So find out what's the safest way for you to, if you're ready and you're going to make plans to exit, what's the safest way to do that? If you're staying in the situation, what's the safest way to do that? Because everybody's not going to leave. So calling the hotline can help with developing what's a safety plan. Again, either if you're leaving or staying.
What stops them from leaving when they know it's a bad situation?
I think that's a wonderful question. We get asked that a lot. And I always tell people, if we each in this room had a marker and walk around this room, we could come up with 1,000 reasons why somebody stays, right? So some people stay because of resources. You know, maybe I've been in this relationship for 10, 12, 15 years and I'm not working. I don't have a job, I don't have an income. So that could be a reason for sure. We have children together, and I've always believed I wanted my children to be raised by both parents. That could be a reason that I stay. I've left before, and it didn't work out for me, and now I'm back, and I don't want to leave again. But the other answer I always give to that also is because I love this person, and because I'm afraid of this person. So because of the fear, I might not leave the situation because I'm not sure what may happen. Remember, there's most likely been multiple threats about me leaving. If you think you're going to leave, this is going to happen. I know we may all be familiar with the term, if I can't have you, nobody can. That's a threat for death. You know, so there's a lot of reasons why somebody could stay. Fear and love are amongst those reasons also.
Yeah, as the father of a teenage daughter, this is something that is concerning. So my question would be, what are some early in a relationship warning signs?
That's it. Thank you. That, you know, looking for differences. So I would say early in the teenage years, this happens through all ages, but particularly I would say in the teenage, look for a lack of interest. I was real active. I was on cheerleading squad. I was on the debate team. I was real active. And all of a sudden, I don't want to do those things anymore. I have 6-7 friends. Well, I don't want them to come over for a sleepover. I used to dress very trendy. And I was always in your pocket, Dad, asking, can I go to the mall? Can I get this? I'm not dressing like that. You see me in sweats a lot now. Those are some early on signs to look for. And I always advise parents, ask your child, because if they know you, they may not answer, but if they know you're asking, you're paying attention. And that can make the difference for when they are more ready to say something, that they know they can come to you. So do ask questions.
I think that's great, the communication element of it. If it's not there, somehow, some way, as a parent, you have to make sure, right, that if it's your daughter or a friend, whatever, that someone is willing to be open and listen. But do you have to do that in advance sometimes if you suspect it, but you don't know for sure, just kind of throw it out there?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Because you can do it in so many different ways. You don't have to make it personal about your child. You can say, you know, I read something the other day, or I saw this information, or this was on our radio station, you know. I'm just curious, how would you handle something like that? So I don't have to ask you directly, are you in this kind of relationship?
And sometimes that works the opposite way, doesn't it? If you come on too strong, in other words, say, hey, something's going on, and you may push them into denial.
For sure. And with teenagers, we all remember being a teenager, we wanted to make sure that we were the adult in the situation. We were the one who knew all the answers. You know, we wanted to really get our own independence. So I don't want to go to mom and dad, who's been telling me ever since I was born what to do and what not to do. So I'm 13, 15, 16. I'm not coming to you right now because I want to handle this on my own. So, yeah, but again, letting them know I'm here for you. And I really want to be able to be that person for whatever goes on in your life. And let me just squeeze this in. I'm sorry. If you see something, so your child is around the person who they're in this relationship with, and you see something, a good line to say is, you know, it scared me when they yelled at you like that. You ever get scared when they yell? Just say something. Yeah.
Good advice.
Rhonda Fleming, the Chief of Prevention, Intervention, and Outreach at the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. Rhonda, we really appreciate your time today, and I'll leave you with this question. What can people do to get more involved?
Thank you. Please go to our website at wcspittsburgh.org. We always have updates on our website. We are right now in the midst of our Adopt a Family season, where we are collecting gift cards that we can give to our residents, our non-residents, people who have used our services over the last year, women who've used our services over this year, can come in, and gift cards allow for the women to have dignity. So instead of saying, here's a red blouse for your daughter, they may not want a red blouse. They can go to the store and buy what they want if they get gift cards. So we're always looking to receive the gift cards. And thank you, because your donations have really helped us already because of this station. So thank you so much that they're continuing to increase. So
I'm really glad we can help, and that people can go to our website to help again. Yes. And that's 937thefan.com. Click on Fan for the Win and donate. Rhonda, thank you so much again for coming out.
Thanks, Rhonda.
Appreciate the work you do.
Thank you both. Yeah, I appreciate it.
She's been doing it for a long time, and clearly you're a person who can make a big difference. So thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bob, we turn our attention back to the Penguins with Jay Caulfield. I know you wanted to say something about them. Are you believing in this little situation here?
I believe that they needed to make a correction. They needed to move quickly to do it, and I think they've done that, given this. And listen, Joe, these teams that they've beaten are pretty good teams, starting with Vancouver. A lot of people think they're a Stanley Cup contending team. They essentially blew them out, late comeback by Vancouver. Then they go and they beat Boston in Boston, never easy to do. And then they come home and take on Calgary on back-to-back nights, and they essentially blow them out. Had a big lead last night against the Stanley Cup champions. Let them get back into it. But the point is, those are tough games. They came away with four wins. That's a step in the right direction. And now they just have to keep it going and stop the six-game losing skids.
I think part of this is just a guess, has to do with the night. What was the milestone that Sid got recently?
That was his 600th goal.
Yes.
It took a while.
It took a while, and it seemed like such a sad night because they got hammered that night.
Right.
And I have to wonder if the guys in that room just feel like, are we letting this guy down? A guy who fights for himself half the time out on the rink, and just a guy who means what he does to everybody in that room. That felt like such a sad night for him to have a milestone like that. And for him to have difficulty being happy about it because they got blown out. Was it the Utah Hockey Club that night?
Yeah, it was a team they should have beaten badly.
I mean, I would feel, and Jay Caulfield talks about this when guys don't stand up for Sid, I would feel like I let him down. And it feels like that was rock bottom. Like, I don't know why they're making this comeback suddenly, but I think I would feel like I let that guy down. What an embarrassing night that was. And since then, at least, Bob, we see some fight.
Yeah, that's what you wanted to see, fight back. And especially, you know, it's all going to come down to goaltending. It always does. Who has the best? Tristan Jarry has shown that now, over the past couple of games, that he is slowly getting back to the form they need him to be at. And quite frankly, they had no choice but to get him in there. The money they're paying him, they can't let him sit forever. I still believe Blomqvist is their future, but this is a guy who's very important to them right now. And if they're going to get into the playoffs, and the goal is do that, if they get in, they could be an interesting team to watch in the playoffs, given all the high-end Hall of Fame talent that they have on the roster.
Coming back, I want to ask Bob if he agrees. I think it's going to be a blowout win here. So does Mark Cabali for the Steelers in this revenge game against the Browns. I think it's going to be an organizational win. I do. One team is the Steelers, and one team is the Browns. And what did Juju say all those years ago, Bob?
The Browns is the Browns.